everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My guest today, Faust Ruggiero, is going to be talking to us about how to be happy and content when we attack the things in our life that are kind of on the unpleasant side, something that all of us as ex-offenders, as we reintegrate, could sure use some advice about. We're going to be talking with him right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Would love to hear from you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Faust Ruggiero, and he is, did I say it right? I didn't say it right, did I?
Good enough. Close enough. Last name, okay. Ruggiero. You got it.
Ruggiero. Okay. I even wrote it down to where it was phonetically. It tells you how bright I am. He is the author of a book called The Fix Yourself Handbook, Using the Process Way of Life to Transform Your Life into a Happy, Healthy Journey. And wow, that's a long title, but there was a long journey to create that book, I understand, and we're going to talk about that. Tell us about yourself first, though, and welcome to the Journey of Hope. First of all, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate this.
Okay, and could you tell us a little bit just about yourself, a little bit about your background, so we know where you're coming from?
Yeah, background. I have a master's in psychology out of Illinois State University, and went into private counseling maybe 6 or 7 years after graduating. In the meantime, worked in clinics and usually public offices. But in 1984, got a job at a prison here in eastern Pennsylvania. Worked there for 5 years, then went into private practice full time. And among other things, I continue to counsel people coming out of the jail. It's one of my specialty. So, you know, I work with them, the prison system, the probation system, the judges, all of that kind of thing to make sure we can get these people back into, living a full life once they're coming out of the jails.
Mm-hmm. But your background also includes a variety of populations that you've worked with, children, addicts, inmates, couples.
All different kinds.
Law enforcement.
Addiction, mm-hmm. Law enforcement, individual, family, marriage, whatever it takes.
Okay. Well, with that background, you developed something, as I understand it, called the Process Way of Life Program.
Right.
What is that? Tell us about that.
Okay. It starts with the notion that everything we do in our life is the result of some type of a process. It doesn't matter what you do, whether it's good decisions, bad decisions. There are processes that we use in order to make those things happen. Could be something very simple, like just, you decided to clean your room. There's all the processes, moving around, intellectual processes, decisions. So what I did on a grander scale is I took a look at all this kind of natural process information, and I put together 51 processes that people use as examples, creativity and passion and honesty and trust and all those kinds of things, and I put them into a program that people could use to to change their life, to fix things that weren't working well, and to get themselves on a positive track in their lives.
Okay.
I use it a lot with the people coming out of not only jails, but it's situations where PTSD, marriages, all that kind of stuff, where people are now reformulating their lives into something a little bit more positive.
I'm going to kind of veer off my scripted questions here. You bring up PTSD. What are your feelings about people coming out of prison having PTSD because of the prison experience? Is that something that you've run into, or what do you think about
that? All the time. And
yeah.
Actually, the PTSD often starts long before jail. Usually, there are a lot of traumatic episodes that cause a person to just not be making good decisions, to get down on themselves, and to isolate and do things that they typically wouldn't do. But then they get into the system, which strips them pretty much of everything that they have. Personally, relationships, finances, you name it. And then this is the other component, and it's interesting. When I worked in the jail, it took me a year really to understand what that whole system was about and what people were working with.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't your typical stay-in-your-office counselor. I worked throughout. My own personal philosophy was to get out there where the people are, get into the cells, mm-hmm. get into the yard and chow hall and all the shops, all that kind of stuff, so I could work with that. And one of the things, when you talk about PTSD and coming out of the jail, you've been shocked with all that. But the people who you're coming out to, the people in your life, the society in general, has absolutely no idea what you went through.
That's right.
And no idea how to understand it. I mean, it took me a year in the system to understand it.
Amazing.
Now you're coming out with that, and you've got this condition, this whole thing that's been stripped from you, and all this trauma. And no one understands it, number one. And number two, since you're coming out of a jail and you've got that inmate convict kind of label, they don't want to.
Yes.
They kind of distance themselves. So that really makes assimilation back in a more difficult chore.
You've got it. You've nailed it. And that's the best I've ever heard someone who hasn't been to prison describe it. It's excellent. You've divided this book. Eventually, you wrote a book about this process, Way of Life.
Right,
and, we mentioned the title earlier. But you divided the book into 36 chapters that target, each one targets a specific area of life. And I think you had mentioned something about 51 areas that you talk about, but the book is divided into 36 chapters, right? And each one is is an area and you help people address that issue in that chapter, right? Is that the way?
The book.
Okay, go ahead.
The book is designed to simulate a counseling experience. People come in and present you with a problem. So these 51 processes are included in all those 36 chapters. Various processes depending on the chapter. And the way I designed the book was to present an issue and then do something a little different than I've ever seen done in a self-help book, and I've read many, is to simply present the problem, show them the processes that we can use to deal with it, and then go directly into the information. And it's only 3 or 4 pages of information, but it's all condensed so people understand it. But then the interesting kind of sidetrack I took is I decided to say at the end of every chapter, these are exactly the steps you need to do to address this, and I've done that in every chapter in the book.
So
for when people are coming, particularly when they're coming into new changes in their lives, coming out of jail is one of those. In relationships, and veterans coming out of active service, I can say here, these are the things you want to do, and it's going to get you back on track the way society needs you or is demanding that you be. It's going to put you in a position to feel better about yourself and more confident, and give you a roadmap to get back. And, it's interesting, we talk about PTSD and people coming out of jail. It's pretty much the same thing as people coming home from war.
Yes.
And trying to get themselves back into society.
Yes.
I'm using it a lot with these populations.
I think that is something that society in general hasn't grasped yet. Can I get you to give me an example of an issue that you address and maybe you know, out of the 36 and, you know, what your methodology would be for addressing that issue. Could you do that for me?
Sure. Let's take a, when you start the book, there are four chapters I call the opening chapter, what I call process bookends. They're the things you have to do in order to make the program work. So let's take one of those chapters, and let's take brutal honesty as one of them. And particularly with people coming back with PTSD issues and coming out of the jails, I always tell you, you've got to get honest with your starting point. Where are you in your life right now? You're not going to be able to blame other people. You're going to have to look at you and go way deep inside, and it's going to get uncomfortable because you're going to be looking at everything about you that may have to change. But once you do that, and once you learn how to be completely honest and get your emotions out of that, just use the facts, then you have now established the first step in getting yourself back on track. Yeah, and none of us, and this isn't just for people coming out. This is everyone. We're all real good at our own form of truth. You know, we have a tendency to make the decision and then try to, you know, arrange facts to back it up. We need to get to what the facts are. That's the starting block for everything. So I present that chapter. I talk about how to look for honesty, and then I give the steps at the end of the chapter that tell you exactly what you need to do. And if they can do that, we're in a great position to move ahead.
Excellent.
I don't know if I answered your question.
You did. And I'm just curious what you would say if I were to ask you, is it possible for someone, I kind of already know the answer, but is it possible for someone who's done something horribly wrong and been slapped really hard by society to come out into society and become totally self-actualized? Is that possible?
Absolutely. My people do it all the time.
Excellent.
You know, the first thing you're going to do there really is to forgive yourself. And I've got a chapter in the book on doing that. You know, a lot of people talk about forgiveness and they say forgiving others. And my feeling is you don't forgive anyone till you forgive yourself. So, and I've had all the various crimes, you know, the rape, the murders, the whole deal. Mm-hmm. And can we get them back on track? Sure. But they, you know, forgiving yourself is a process of, you know, making atonement to other people and getting inside yourself and understanding you're still a good person. You did something wrong. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, and again, there are evil people in the world, but most people coming out of the jails that I deal with made mistakes. So I teach them how to forgive themselves first. Mm-hmm. At that point, you're not having all that negative energy bring you down.
What would you say? What would you say about the concept of grieving your previous life so that you could move forward? Is that something that you would recommend? I mean, is that?
Yes.
What do you think about that?
It's interesting. You're actually the first person that's asked that, and actually way ahead of the program. In the second book, which is going to kind of be a book that, you know, now the first book tells you how to make the gains. The second book is going to tell how to keep the gains. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that we deal with, being able to grieve. And one of the chapters, title is actually going to be Dying to Live, is the topic of the chapter. And it really says that before we're going to move ahead, we have to actually kind of kill off that negative part of our life and then move forward. And I actually teach my people how to do that, where we say, okay, there's that part that has happened. It's past. It's over. We don't want that negative energy coming forward. Mm-hmm. So that's got to die, and you're going to grieve it. You are mm-hmm. definitely going to grieve it, because while you're putting that aside, you're losing all the people and places and events that are attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an emptiness, and I kind of pad that along so it doesn't, you know, get them depressed to the point that they want to hurt themselves or quit.
Right. Right.
But grieve it enough to understand it and let it go, so that you can build a new life, starting from there.
I find that you know, when I made my stupid mistake, I was a teacher. And so when I came out of prison, my degree my college degree, all the graduate hour, all that, just flush it down the toilet. It was, it meant zero. And that has been something that even through the little bit of therapy that I've been through, they didn't really address that very much. And I think that it's something that I've struggled with. I still, you know, all these years later, it's been over 20 years. And I think sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, damn, I should be getting ready for track season, you know?
Yeah.
And so it crosses my mind heavily a lot. And it's been one of the harder parts personally to handle. And I noticed when I went to prison, it was real shocking to me that there are a lot of guys in prison that it's not, you know, I don't want to stereotype people here, but there are a lot of guys that can go back to doing the same job they were doing before they were incarcerated. If it was a blue collar type job. But guys like me, there were a lot of guys like me who had to totally reinvent themselves, and there's no distinction made in prison. Maybe there shouldn't be, I don't know, but I just got to tell you that it's been, and I've heard from people that have talked about, it's been among the hardest things to do as I come home is to grieve that past life and to have reasonable expectations as I move forward, but to recognize that that's over. That was my previous life. One of the things I noticed that you talked about in your blog, by the way, you've got a really cool podcast.
Thank you.
I really like it. We'll give out that information in just a second. But your latest one, it talks about gratitude. I really like that. Talk to us about gratitude. Let's end on a positive note. Tell me about gratitude and how that helps people.
Well, you know, there are two types of gratitude, as I talk about it, both in the book and in the podcast. The one is when, you know, we are thankful for something. It's actually a destination. You got to something. Someone gave you something. You heard you. Someone said something nice to you. You came into some money, whatever it may be, and you're just thrilled about that. And we're all like that. There's a second gratitude which goes moment by moment. It's inside you. It doesn't need anything from the outside, and you're grateful for every moment of your life. If you can get to that point, I do begin to teach how to do that in the book. If you can get to that point, then you're not getting knocked down when things don't go your way. It's a positive energy that you have that's constantly moving forward, and it wraps itself around your whole world. Now you're grateful for the little things, and then you can see little positive progressions in your life. And when you're coming out and trying to reestablish yourself, that's huge, because you know you're trying to get back to where you were, and that's not going to happen, it's not going to happen fast, as I should say. So the little victories become very, very important.
Excellent.
Realize those, because it's a roadmap back. And you know, you were talking about going to therapy. What happens is a lot of people coming out don't go to therapy because they already know the person behind the desk is probably not going to understand them unless they knew the whole jail situation.
Exactly.
So
that
they
is
made
exactly
a decision
right.
Coming out, I don't know if I can do that. It's going to be one more person who's going to look at me like I'm an inmate, and I don't know, and I'm, you know, I've degraded myself, and they don't know what to do with it.
Wow.
So it's kind of like, you know, right. Why I keep doing this, because on my end, you know, guys, I mean, I live in an area that, you know, there's a few cities local, and then it's rural. Everyone knows I do this. The probation officers know it. The parole people know it. So they get them back in here, and word is already spread. I mean, it's already in the jail. They know. If you come out, you can go there. He already knows what you're dealing with. And he's going to push past all that garbage. Other people have to say, oh, my God, really?
Excellent.
You know, I'll bring that stuff up. And then when I do, well, you know, the guy comes in and says, I've had this Gagnon 2 hearing. Well, you know, people don't know what they're talking about. I not only know the process, I probably know the people involved in it. So
just the amount of time that you spent around inmates and even inside, seeing what a cell looks like. I mean, you know, that helps tremendously.
You know, when I tell people, these guys are, in fact, I don't even say it. I used to say it years ago. This is what these guys spend their life. And then people will look, you know, they're appalled, and that even pushed them farther away. So what I tell people is just people that made mistakes, they're in the jail, and they're working to make themselves better, and they're actually getting better. And a lot, you know this, but even better than I, people who have come out of jail many times are the movers and shakers in the world that do something different because there's a different perspective, and they change things for the good. Mm-hmm. A lot of people. So you're doing it with your podcast.
Well, I'm trying to.
Well, it works. You'd be surprised. You know, it's nice to be humble, and I'm the same way. But you know, you hear a message, and it only takes one person to grab that message, and that may be the one that does something big.
Yes.
So we just keep on grinding.
Yes.
We just keep on going.
That's what I tell my wife when I buy gear for this podcast. Mm-hmm. I tell her we're going to help one person. Anyway, you're absolutely right. How do we find out more about you if people want to get your book? Where do you do that?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. I have a website that's dedicated solely to the book. It has a little bit about me on there. But if anyone goes to a Google and types in the Fix Yourself Handbook, or my name, but they're never going to remember my name, so I always say just type in the Fix Yourself Handbook.
Okay.
And it'll take you both to Amazon where the book is, but it'll also take you to my website.
Good.
And the website has all the information about the book. It even has a whole chapter outline, all 36 chapters. It has an excerpt from the book, all that kind of stuff. So they can see what they may want to buy. The other thing it does is it has a contact link. If anybody has questions, mm-hmm. I'm open to that by all means.
Great. And we will certainly point people in that direction. The book's called Fix Yourself Handbook, Using the Process Way of Life to Transform Your Life into a Happy, Healthy Journey. Thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
It has been my pleasure. And again, to anyone listening, feel free. Give me a yell if you need something.
Okay. Sounds good. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey there. Hey, if you got an idea for a show, you got an idea for a guest that would be interesting for people that are reintegrating to hear from, let me know. Catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney @yahoo.com. And I want to thank my special guest today, Faust Ruggiero. I know I'm not saying his name right. I know I'm not. I'm trying to, though. I mean, so give me some credit for trying. And I want to let you know that if God is for you, who can be against you? And we'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.